Don't worry, you're not going to have to stare at this all screen right now. We're going to look at this right now. Praise God. All right. So we are talking about how work. And hopefully you're getting this because it's so necessary. How we have distorted grace today is we've made grace in a way where as long as you have grace, you have to do nothing. Absolutely not. In fact, don't even try to do anything. Right? Grace is covered. But then we read these things in the Bible of what we have to do. What's the problem? Why would he put that in there if it wasn't necessary, if we didn't have to do it? So far, hopefully you got a strong understanding, and we had a special service last week, so we're going to have to do this review to catch up. First of all, our salvation is from grace, from God, not of our works. Very clear. Hopefully you understand your salvation. There's nothing you could do to get it. All right, and he showed us that. And I always say the three sections. Adam and Eve failed when they tried to do it. And then he gave it when he said, I'm going to give you the law. And the law was, I'm going to give you a path to do it on your own. Failed miserably. So then when grace came, it was like, so God is going to do it for us. Covered for us. So he had the whole thing covered. Okay, so that's clear. Make sure you understand your salvation had nothing to do with what you are doing or have done. Those that are saved live to do good works. So that's a part of it. So, of course, as a Christian, if I'm truly a Christian, I am living to do the works that are of God, good works. Okay, so that's pretty clear. And it is wrong for Christians to try and receive righteousness through works. If I wake up and say, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to make a self get well or get better tape, and I'm going to do all these things, I'm already on the wrong path because I can't do it. Right? So I already know that. Hopefully I know that. So you're not supposed to try that. Human works is man using his own power. Okay? Now I'm throwing that out there because when it comes to works, there are two types of works out there. Okay? There's human works and works of faith. Human works and works of faith. The human works is what I'm not trying to do. Okay? That's something that I do on my own. That when I work, we already have an agreement. I do this job. They pay me for my job. Life goes on, okay? That's me. That's me doing it. But works of faith is me doing, displaying my faith in him. We'll talk about that. Works of faith is a man doing what God says, depending on God. It's what is also known as belief. That's why you hear, when God, for God so loved the world, that he who believes. Now remember, if we did it the way we speak about grace today, what would happen is a person, everybody would just be saved. Jesus would have died, everybody would be saved. Think about it. Because we wouldn't have to do anything. But no, he's saying, no, it's only going to be for those who believe. And belief was little more than faith. Not more than faith, it's faith displayed. And we got to really see that in James. We're going to see that even more as we go through this study. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. But we do act to show we receive what got us our salvation. Now, let me explain how that works. So if somebody says, I'm going to pay off all your debt, and there's no way I could do it, right? I'm going to pay it all off. I got it covered, right? But in order for you to show that you accept it, here are some terms that you have to do. You got to make sure that you get a job afterwards. You got to make sure that you're never doing any crime. You got to make sure that you're helping others. You see what I'm saying? Now, all these works are just terms to show you accepted that your debt was totally paid off. Did y'all catch that? All right. It's in no way earning it. It's just showing you accept it. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you truly believe that he covered all of your debt, your actions will show that you truly accepted it. That's how works and works of faith works. He didn't go, if you work hard, you'll earn your debt being paid off. No. In no way we could do that. He's just saying, show me that you accept what I just did for you. All right? So my works will show if I accepted it or if I didn't. That's why only he who believes will have eternal life and will not perish. Only he who believes. And I'll show you the example. We'll talk about that. Difference between human works and works of faith. Works of faith only seeks God's approval and is based on faith. So in other words, when I act, it's fully based on God. Y'all get this? Fully based on God. Completely based on God. The difference maker between the two is purpose. Either it's for God or not. Remember, we had Abraham as an example. He was told, go kill your son. If we want to make it plain and simple, right? Okay? Sacrifice, however you want to put it. And he did what God said. That's faith. Okay? Now, when he got to the point, God's the one who stopped him. He didn't stop until God stopped him. Now, if he went, God's my only son. I've been waiting a long time for him. I'm not going to do this. No, not going to let this happen. And you know how we react? Now, that's me working based on me. That means I'm not having faith. When I pick and choose out of God's word on what I'm going to do, I don't have faith. All right? And the way you really know your faith, God's going to put you in certain situations where that decision is going to be hard. And remember, Abraham waited 100 years old, and he was beyond 100 now, and his child had gotten a little older. Because this wasn't a little baby he was taking up there. He was a teenager at the time. And he's like, now go kill your son. Are you serious? And he didn't say that, as far as we know. He just, come on, packed up, and it was a three-day journey to go kill his son. But because he had faith, whatever was the outcome, he was like, I give it to God. That's faith. I'm doing what he says, period. So that's going to be the purpose. What was your purpose? To please God or when I get something out of it? And that's what we have to look at as Christians. So then what we seen last week, how works reveals what is real. Okay? How works reveals only the righteous live righteously and only the evil live evil. So understand this. I'm not saying some evil people won't do some righteous things and some righteous people won't do some evil things. It's how you live. Your overall life, if it's described by you, is it going to be fully based on the Bible or not? Okay? Because now the problem is sometimes when we say evil, people get confused because they already have their own definition of evil and they leave out a bunch of stuff. So to make that clear is, are you living for God? Is your life described, this person is a godly person? When I watch him, he is living the Bible or not? He has his own little way of doing it. And he says he has some relationship with God and it has nothing to do with the Bible. Okay? That's the difference in that. Only the righteous, if you're truly righteous, you will live righteous. If you're not righteous, you can't live righteous. And only the righteous are the ones who accepted Christ. But the evil will live evil. They'll live outside of God. Secondly, spiritual fruit, reverence, and living right are signs of a Christian. Why do I need to check myself? Because I want to make sure I'm seeing this fruit that we go over. Why do we go over it every year? Why is it in some sermon that we're pushing? So you are checking you to go, do I have the right fruit? So we can check one another. Do you have the right fruit? This is so necessary to make sure I'm a Christian. I told you, it always catches me off guard when I hear that verse. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only he who does the will of my Father. That's important because then you'll go, wait a minute, is that talking about me? Well, do you have fruit? Y'all get this? Are you displaying fruit? Are you living in reverence? Reverence, a difference between reverence, you'll see two ways to go. One way that's desirable, everybody else is doing it, or what God said. And you'll do what God said. Period. That's reverence. Okay? We don't see that today. We want both. I want to revere God and get everything I want. Doesn't always work that way. So you'll have that. You'll have the fruit. You'll have reverence. And living right are signs. Living right. Yeah. Living right. Okay. You have some that are living evil, but they'll go, but I'm a Christian, so it all. Please don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. How you live will display what you are. It's the fruit that you have. Christians' persistence in doing good, seeking glory, honor, and immortality. We talked about this at the end of the Order of My Steps. This is the signs. That's going to be your purpose. You'll see a person continue to do what God says, even when it doesn't seem like it's going right. But you have those that, man, they're waiting. And God will allow certain things to happen in their life to say, are you really living for me? I told you my prayer as a young Christian used to go, oh, don't do this, God, because this person will leave. And don't do that because you'll discourage. And it's like, wait a minute, why am I questioning God? God's going, no. I only want those that are fully depending on me. Right? Because you have some, man, one button push, they're gone. And they were never really there for him. They were there for God to be there for them. And that's where the problem comes in. So persistence in doing good, seeking glory, honor, and immortality. That's when I'm completely living just for what God has to give me. I'll go through a storm. I'll let everything crash. And I'm going to keep doing what he says, period. That's a Christian. Non-Christians are self-seeking, reject the truth, and follow evil. Remember, like I said, evil is not your definition of evil. The best definition of evil is anything done outside of God. Anything. I go to work. If that's outside of God, evil. I get married. If that's outside of God, evil. Raise my children. If that's outside of God, evil. Do y'all get this? Just go have a meal, have something to eat outside of God. Evil. It's crazy, isn't it? So Satan, he successfully picked a few things that these are evil. And we're going, okay, we agree with that. And these other things are good. And we're living deceived instead of realizing if I'm not doing it for God, then it's evil. And he says they are headed to hell. Can't make it any clearer. The evil also do not provide for their relatives and hate their brothers. Okay? And remember, we went over a whole order my step on hate. Hopefully, I encourage you, if you didn't see that, to please go over that. Because hate isn't that emotional feeling you have. Hate is the action that you show. And there are some of us that we have people that we call our best friend, and we're hating them every day. There are some that are actually hating God. How do we know that? He says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Isn't that what he said? Some of us, man, the world is our best friend. Whatever it may be for fun, maybe for whatever other reasons, maybe for honor, maybe for whatever you think it is, you're so embracing the world, you already told God that you hate him. And you're probably going, no, I would never say that. We didn't ask what you said. We're saying what you're saying with how you're living. Okay? So that's evil. The evil do not provide for, we already said that, and the relatives and their brothers. The providing for relatives is such a necessary thing. We have to live recognizing that's my responsibility. Period. I have to provide for my family. Okay? That's not an option. That's not something I can withhold. Okay, I have to do that. He, remember, the verse says those who do not take care of their relative, especially their immediate ones, are worse than an unbeliever. What does that mean? Do you really want to find out? Does that make sense? You really want to find out. And human works can put us in danger by taking us away from Christ and depending on self and removing our relationship with God. Human works are me trying to do it on my own. And look what danger it puts us in. I have to live my life completely depending on God and doing anything based on God. Amen? Okay, so hopefully we got that understanding and we have a better understanding of where works plays a part and the difference between the two types of works. Now, our actions will reveal if we are living fleshly, which means we are headed to hell. Please understand that. Now, the reason why I keep pushing that point is so people don't convince themselves or reason around it. And that's what we've been doing. Well, I'm this and I'm okay. Instead of understanding, no, you're going one place or the other, and God gave us the path. Remember, he says, enter through the narrow. Why did he say that? He's saying, I'm showing you the way. If you're not taking this way, you're going the wrong way. Okay? Plain and simple. There is no, but this group over here, they really meant well and they're good people, so I'm going to get them to go in anyway. And you have religions that are doing that. I mean, the Catholics do it with purgatory. You have other religions that are slowly slipping that in. Others saying there's going to be a second, third, fourth chance. None of that's in the Bible. Okay? So he's given us this now. Our actions, if I check me, if what I'm doing, how I'm living is not in line with God, I'm in trouble. Our human nature. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it says, the acts of the sinful nature, which is the human nature, that's when I live based off of me, are obvious, he says. He's saying, this is not going to be some mystery of, oh man, am I living as a Christian should? No, he's saying it's obvious. Look what it'll be. And once again, not breaking these down. We break these down once a year, but understand what they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and for those of you who think you didn't make the list, the like. So there's stuff out there that are like this, and that's you too. And he's saying, if this describes you, there's doom. And how do I know? Because he says, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can you make that any clearer? Okay, so he's letting you know if I'm on this list or anything like that. Now, here's the blessing. If you're hearing this and you're on this list, you can change it. Through the grace of God, you're like, you know what? Today, I'm truly giving my life to him. You have an opportunity. If you're not hearing this or, you know, if the person already died, that's where it becomes a dangerous thing for them. Okay, he says you will not. He didn't say you may not. He was like, oh, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right, and I'm adamant about this because I want to let you know this and you to let others know this because this is what the Bible says. Because today we've turned God into a wishy-washy God that's not in the Word, and we're giving people passes, and he's not. I'll hear ministers over and over again tell people, you're going to be fine. What's going to happen when they meet with Christ and he goes, I never knew you? based on his word. It says our actions will reveal, it is still under this, if we are wicked. Okay, so the first one we've seen, if we live based on our own nature. The second one shows if we are living wicked. Just like evil, wicked is on the outside of God. Okay, and it says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Once again, it's showing that he made very clear. He was like, are you sure you get this? And then he breaks down who that is. But look what he says before he breaks it down. Do not be deceived. Deception is an option. Please understand that. And people are making the wrong option. They're choosing to go, I think God's going to let this be, and I think God's going to allow this. Look who he adds in this group. He says, neither the sexually immoral, this is going to be in every group, okay, nor idolaters. We've seen a whole thing on idolatry today, okay, and it's greed. We see it in sexual immorality. We've seen a lot of things. Adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will enter the kingdom of God. Now, once again, if this describes my life, if I'm living this way, there's a problem. Blessing is, if you're hearing it, there's change. You got Christ, you can accept Christ and grow in that. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified. Now, when people hear this, they think it's just some words that happened to you. Because I've heard ministers read this and go, even though you're living like this, because you're this, you can keep living like this and it won't matter. It's not what it says. No, no, no. If you're truly a Christian, washed, sanctified, and justified means you won't be doing that. Because now you're empowered not to do that. You allowed yourself to be cleansed. You allowed yourself to be set apart to be used by God only. And now you know that Christ is the one who justified you. Remember, justice is done. You know you did wrong and it was already taken care of. It was already paid for. Person has that, you won't see this, is what it's saying. It says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So once again, we seem living in our own nature. That's me doing it based on me. Living wicked. That's outside of God. And he broke it down. He says, do not be deceived. And if we give in. Now, this is those who are living wild as Christians. And after we live for a while, and I know a lot of Christians have run into this, you finally go, you know what? I don't see. What is it all for? What am I getting out of it? And you start seeing them give in. Look what he says about them. In Revelation 21:6-8, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this. Okay? So as a Christian, once again, we have the ability to, because we have Christ. It's just I have to do it. But watch this. He says, and I will be his God and he will be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, vile, murderers, sexual immorality, remember I told you this in all of them, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, the significance of this, please, one day we can even do a study on this. Know what each of these are, because our definition of some of these aren't the Bible's definition of some of these. Y'all get this? Like I said, sometimes, especially us men, when we hear the word cowardly, our definition of cowardly, you know, when you hear turn the other cheek, we will call that cowardly sometimes. Not realizing, no, that's brave in the Lord. Cowardly is when I react based off of what I think I'm going to miss out on, or I know God says this, but I'm going to do this instead, or I'm not going to let them get away with it. That's cowardly. That's a fear or a timid fear outside of God or even despite God. Do y'all get this? But once again, we'll break these down. But you see these. So he gives us these three major warnings of if this is you, you're doomed. If you're hearing it, you're blessed because you're hearing it. Make the change. Do y'all get this? Choice. It's your choice. Not living with true Christian characteristics puts us directly in the path of God's wrath. The biggest fear we have as Christians is God's wrath. I know we think the biggest fear we have is Satan. No. Satan already did his thing. Satan's already doing this, trying to put us in God's wrath. Think about it. The only one who's justifiably can be angry is God. He's the only one who's allowed to truly be angry, and that's what the wrath is. If we are in God's wrath, we're getting what we deserve. Grace is trying to give us what we don't have to go through. Does that make sense? All right? So look at what it says here. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Once again, you see that again. These are common because we want to make sure that they're following and hitting what we're not supposed to be doing, but doing what, you know, going in the way that God wants us to go, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Okay? So he's making sure that this is not something we're continually doing, and it's not something that describes us in any way. It says, because nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. I know some of us are like, oh, wait a minute. That's definitely me. Okay? And it comes off not just because we may hear the coarse joking, and that is exactly what it's saying. But when it also talks about foolish talk, sometimes we make up what we call wise, and it's not based on God. That's foolish talk. Christians have no business giving their human wisdom to somebody. We got some brilliant people saying some foolish things. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay, and that's what it's talking about, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. Now, he's giving us that warning again. He's saying this is a definite. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater. Remember I told you idolatry is shown. So when I live in any type of immorality, when I live impure, impure is always adding something or taking something away from the Bible. When I do what the word says and, or I do what the word says except. Y'all get where I'm going with this? In other words, when I take anything out, I do what the Bible says up to this point, but we don't do this part. Or I am following the Bible, and I also follow this other religion. That's impure. Greedy person, that's when it's about me, and not only do I want it, I want it all. He says, such a man is an idolater. That's idolatry now. Okay? Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. If somebody comes to you and give you the, and we have, like I said, ministries today that are giving you the, everything's fine, God loves you, you're going to heaven, and you're like, but I'm living like this, can you show me in the Bible, with me living like this, that I'm still going to heaven? That's empty words if they're not showing you in the Bible. And they're going to be, it has to be from sound doctrine, not a scripture. The reason why it's called sound doctrine is because I'm making sure I'm using all the verses based on that topic together. That's why I teach you this way. I want to make sure you see every one of them. Because if I just use one scripture, you can be deceived with just one scripture. As we've seen in the order of my steps, it says, do not judge, right? If I just said that one scripture, y'all would leave out there going, Pastor said, don't judge. But it's not until we read sound doctrine where it says, no, it's telling me how not. Don't judge, because the way I do it, this is what's going to happen. I am supposed to judge those in the church. I'm not supposed to pass judgment. Remember, we did a whole sermon on it. That's what it says. Do not let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. It's your choice. When we are misled, that's our fault because we don't check them. When I just allow you to preach something to me and I feel good and I say amen instead of going, okay, that's cool, I'm checking. I'm even telling you, you better check me. I might put all the scripture down. Your next step is throughout this entire week, like the Breans, I got to check and make sure this is in the Word, this is in line with the stuff I've read, and everything's there, and I got some questions, Pastor. I want to make sure it's in line with what the Word is saying. It says, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are what? Disobedient. Disobedience also means, because some of us, there's stuff we don't know, and we don't know because we're not looking to know. Right? If you're not Bible studying, if you're not doing something to understand what you don't understand, that's disobedient, right? I remember my grandmother, there was one time we did something, and she didn't say not to do it, but when we did it, we got in trouble as if we did something wrong. We asked, but you didn't say we couldn't. She said, but you didn't ask me. I don't remember you asking me. I might have said yes, is what she said. But because you didn't ask me, it's just as bad as you doing something I told you not to do. And in the same way, we do the same thing. We barely read our Bibles. There's sometimes I know when you're sitting there looking at me talking, it's going, I have no idea what he's talking about. What's the next step? I got questions. I got things to do. Nope, we go, yep, done with that. So if you don't know it, then how are you going to know if you're doing it or not? Because it's still counted as disobedience. Because it's your responsibility to get to know it. Do y'all get this? I can't chase you around and say, hey, did you get this? Therefore, do not be partners with them. So he's saying not only don't do it, he's like, don't be partners with people that are living this way. Very dangerous, because this is common. If you, as we go through this list, you're seeing more Christians that these characteristics fit more than you see not. And it should not be so. And unfortunately, it's the church's fault. We're not preaching it the way we should be. We're always preaching a feel good. We want you to leave out of here feeling good. And that's what people want. I've been even told that. I get that. Feeling good is not going to have you be good. And it's going to put you in a position. That's why he's saying, let no one deceive you with empty words. That's my job. My job is to warn. Hopefully you get the warning and you run with it. Now, when we accept a wicked person, we are automatically a participant in their wicked works. This is another thing people miss. So I may not be doing it, but when I am being somebody that's supporting or accepting them, watch this. 2 John 10-11 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Now, this is talking to somebody who says they're a Christian. Okay? This, I know some people say, does this mean, so when the Jehovah's Witness come over, if you can minister to them, by all means, minister to them. This is talking about somebody who's saying they're a Christian. But you hear the stuff that they're telling you is not in the Bible. It's saying you have to, you get where I'm coming from? Wait, there's a problem here. And I can't participate. I can't go, well, we'll agree to disagree. If your body agreed to disagree, that's called an autoimmune disease. You know what I mean? Your body's fighting against itself. You understand? We got to be in agreement with Christ. He's saying, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. You might not be doing it, but when you go, that's my friend. You know, we've been friends since we were younger and stuff like that. And even though he has a warped form of Christianity and I have the right form of Christianity, at least we both call ourselves Christians and we're good. Do y'all see the problem? And this is common. Very common. We hold nobody accountable. Right? I'm not going to question you on your Christianity. I want you to question me on my Christianity. Right? There's a verse that says, be prepared with an answer for everyone who asks. Not be insulted when they ask you if you're a Christian. Right? I want somebody to go, hey, are you a Christian? Absolutely. And this is what I'm getting. The word says this, and I can tell them that. Nah, I can't believe you asked me that. Right? Take the pride and throw it out the door and go, well, am I? Good question. Right? Because you want to know if they're doing wrong, if they're teaching wrong, and you're accepting them, and you get the same punishment. What just happened, God? I wasn't doing this. He said, I warned you. Once again, the only way you would know this, if you're in his word. So how we learn and grow in good works. How does that help us when we do good works? So it's not just us doing something and we get some sort of benefit from it. How do we really get anything out of good works? Okay? Necessary for us to know this. First of all, Christians' works must be through faith. While depending on God. Must be through faith while depending on God. James 2:14-18. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Now, this is the part that's going to show us how the works of faith works. Okay, he really breaks it down on this. I mean, clearly. He says, what good is it for a brother if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? So, and that's what a lot of Christians are doing. They'll say, I have faith. My faith. They'll put it out there and they want you to accept that as faith. He says, what good is it if that's all you have? He goes clear. Can such faith save him? That's the question. So if I just say I have faith, am I saved? That's what he's showing us. If I just say I have faith, am I saved? Right? And he's showing this. Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? I hope everything turns out well, right? We just give them good wishes. When I can get him a blanket, when I can get him some food, right? What good is it, right? He's saying it's the same thing for a person that goes, I have faith, but nothing is displayed. That's what he's saying. It's meaningless unless it's displayed. That's what he said. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, did y'all catch this? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, did y'all catch that? Very important for us to get because there's a lot of those I have faith Christians where he's saying it's doing you no good. It's not just faith. It is faith displayed. He was like, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. The showing of my faith. What Abraham had to do, and the reason why it was called belief, and we even seen it in this passage where as an example, was by him doing it. God could have gone, Do you believe me, Abraham? Do you believe that I'm going to do all this for you? And Abraham could have gone, yes, I do. And that's what we think. That's all I have to do. No. He gets hit. Get up. Take your son. You got to go sacrifice him. I want to see if you believe me. In many cases, a lot of us say we have faith. God puts you in a situation. Your actions show otherwise. Amen? Remember, Peter was in the water. He said, are you? Can I tell me to come and I'll come? So he said, come. That should have been it. It was like he told me, I don't care what the water is doing. I'm walking towards Jesus. But then he saw. He got scared. And a lot of us get scared. A lot of us do the same thing he did in life. Right? We know what his word said. Then why am I turning this way? And why am I adding this? And why am I putting safety nets? And why am I adding all this other stuff when he just said, come? Y'all get me? So it's my faith is going to be displayed by what I do. We get this faith from reading the Bible and hearing God's message. Okay? Like I said, I give so much information because it's my job to build your faith. Okay? I try to give as much. We try to do it throughout the week. And the goal is to give you so much that your faith is being built. Because what comes from Romans 10, verse 17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. So you do have to go to church to hear the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. And that message better be one from the Bible. Right? I've heard some very inspiring messages, but that's where it ended. Right? It's no different than me hearing somebody who's a poet who just read something that made me feel good. There's nothing. I get nothing out of it. It's like eating food with no nutrients. It tastes good, but that's about it. Right? I get absolutely nothing out. Unless the word I'm hearing is directly from the Bible, it's doing you no good. Now, if you hear it, once again, it makes you feel good. If you hear it and you apply it, but it's not from God, still no good. In fact, it's dangerous. So faith comes from me hearing this word. Okay? And that's why that's necessary. Now, I know even today we have access with online and these things, so we can hear many things. But then you got to check. And you got to check based on the Bible. Right? And you got to make sure what you're getting is coming from God's word. Next, when we do works of faith, it's not us working, but grace working through us. When I act based on what he said, I'm allowing him to work through me. That's how that works. Do y'all get that? Okay, Peter didn't walk on water. Peter allowed grace to allow him to walk on water. Does that make sense? Okay, because Peter, if he just jumped in the water, he would have drowned like he almost did. Because then he stopped letting grace. When he started seeing is why he started sinking. When I do what he says, I'm allowing him. But when I don't allow him, when I do it on my own, do it on my own terms, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He's making sure, if you look at Paul, he's basically saying, if you looked at me working hard, he said, I was the hardest worker, but that has nothing to do with it. It was the grace working in me. Because some of us try to do stuff out of how much I do, or even what I do, or try to outdo. And God's not looking at that. You're going to have some people that are very, very busy, but they're complacent. Amen? Then you're going to have those that are consistently doing what God says, maybe not as much as that person who's overdoing it, and they're going to get well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're doing exactly what your father told you. Amen? Okay? It's the key that we have. And then we also see we display and justify faith by how we live our lives. All right. So this faith that I'm displaying, how do I do it? How I live. If I truly have faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we live by faith, not by sight. There's a verse in Hebrews that says my righteous ones will live by faith. It'll be him coming back and it'll be like they're glowing. If I'm truly living by faith, you'll see it instantly. Well, that's the group. They live by faith. And this is a work. Live, but it's a work of faith because I'm living by faith. That means every action, everything I do is going to be fully based on God's word. It won't be some made up thing that I think God is doing or that I wish God would do. It's what God said. It'll be based on what God says. Amen. Live by faith, not by sight. And the thing I love about this is the not. He didn't say live by faith and try not to let sight get in the way. He didn't say along with sight, live by faith. He's saying, I have to eliminate sight. Now think about that. Because a lot of us, we think along with sight, we'll do something that God told us and we'll pat ourselves on the back and we want a reward. Instead of, I don't care what I see, God, which way do you want me to go? In fact, I'll see this cliff at the end and I'm going to walk as aggressively as if there was nothing there because he told me to walk. Remember, Abraham went there directly, aggressively to do exactly what God told him to. Do we live that way? Because aggressively would be, I got to get this word because I got to do it. We kind of, yeah, I know. One day I'm going to get ready. One day I'll get better. One day I'll stop. One day I'll start. Right? You do know tomorrow is not promised to you. Anything can happen. Amen? We must live solidly and continually by faith. Solidly and continually. Colossians 1, 21 through 22 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Now stop there. It's saying what made us enemies is because of how I was living. I didn't say I'm an enemy to him, but because my life was showing I was going against him. Right? I was doing things other than. There was a guy who raised his family, and how he does with his family, it's in a book. You know how they may even call it, like when they were saying Bill Cosby is, they were calling whatever, America's dad or whatever, and how that is. But if he wasn't raising them based on Christ, even if he didn't go to jail, and if that none of that stuff happened, what he was doing, if it wasn't based on Christ, it was a dangerous way to raise his family. Do you understand this? But some of us accept it because we like the outcomes. We like the way it looked. We liked what we seen. And we keep doing this. We keep going based on, hey, everything works out. Everybody's happy. The family gets along, blah, blah, blah. And the one question is, so is everybody living in line with God? And especially for us dads, right, we are held accountable because we are called the heads of the house. So I got to maintain and keep it based on God. But if I don't, it's called evil behavior, and I'm alienating myself and my family away from God. But I realize the biggest way I can hurt my family is to allow other stuff in my house other than us living for God. I'm endangering my family. I can buy all the security stuff I want, buy as many weapons as I want, you know what I mean, get my family protected, pick them up so they don't have to walk in the dark, all that stuff, meaningless. They don't have complete God. That's on me. Do y'all get this? All right, I have to do that. It says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. Free from accusations is not because I didn't do anything. It's because Christ stepped in my place. He got punished for what I should have got punished for, so somebody got punished. Do y'all get this? That's what happens. So it's not that I'm still don't deserve the blame. He paid for my blame. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved. He's saying this works. What Christ did is only for those who continue in their faith, established, firm, not moved. Did y'all catch that? Okay. So in other words, if I'm truly being this Christian, I'm not letting stuff in the world make me sway and get out of it. You understand? My faith is just getting stronger. Then that's talking about me. If not, I'm now back in the seat, and I got to pay for my, did y'all catch that? Which I can't, so I'm doomed. Amen? Okay? So it's something I have to make sure I'm doing. That's if you continue in your faith, establish, firm, and not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is a gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. So that means we all have access to it, and the word is still being preached, but we all have access to it. We just choose not to hear it. So we all have it. It says, in which I, Paul, have become a servant. He's saying, I'm going to still keep preaching and proclaiming that. But please don't deceive yourselves and say, nope, I had the faith, I'm good, and Christ died for me. Yes, he did, but that's if you stay in that part which protects you. Think of God's protection as this building that's not moving, but I can leave the building. We like to think it's a moving building, right? We like to think that as I move, the building moves. And God's like, no. There's a verse that even tells you, stay in God's protection, right? Why would he tell me to stay in it if it's moving with me? All right? Fools think, no, it's going to follow me while I just live the way I want. No. No, 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 no. Okay? So a Christian understands, here's a place that's called his protection. He shows us what that protection is. Continuing in our faith, how? Established and firm. Not moved. You could have the most devastating thing happen to you in your life. And they said, he didn't budge. Still the same Christian. I see him growing. Right? Come on. We live in faith by living Jesus-purposed, not self-purposed. That's the two choices. You're either one, Jesus or God-purposed, or the other, self-purposed. Okay? And that's it. What we've done that's been dangerous is we try to make God self-purposed. God, live for me. And some think that's how it works. I'm happy. So as long as I'm happy, then it must be from God. It's not how it works. Romans 13, 12 through 14 says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He's saying quit playing, basically. Okay? Remember I said, if you're hearing this stuff and you're in the bad part, the blessing is you're hearing it and you have an opportunity to change. He's saying, stop playing. Let's put on the right thing. Let us behave decently as the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with what? Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I should display Christ in everything. Everything. And the person who's really concerned about this would sit down and say, all right, I need to really make sure every aspect of my life is driven in the Bible. Not, hey, God, bless this. It doesn't work that way. He's saying, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Remember, we did Danger of Desires, and this is what this covers. If I'm truly living for Christ, my focus is on Christ. If I'm not, I'm thinking about what makes me happy. And that's where your decisions will be made. You'll go, do I get in this relationship or do I serve Christ? Do I take this job or do I serve Christ? Do I do this thing with my health or do I serve? Do you see where I'm going with this? Now, Christ will answer how you're supposed to deal with all those questions I just asked. But the other one will be, but I'll be happy if I. I get Christians saying that all the time, but I'm happy now. Okay. Happiness or human happiness is temporary. True happiness is eternal. That's why y'all know the definition of blessed. Anybody know that? The word is happy, if y'all didn't know that. The word blessed and happy, same word. So when he's saying blessed are, he's saying happy is. Okay? That's true happiness. Human happiness is what I feel, and that's deceptive because it's desire. It's telling me I'm happy, even though it's wrong. But I think I'm happy. Temporary. And that's why it's dangerous for somebody who thinks they're very happy because they'll live based on how they can keep being happy. And not how to serve God. Y'all get that? So be very careful because some of us are in situations or focuses in which we are happy and we're looking to stay happy and we keep walking to stay happy and everything we want to do is to be happy. And God's going, no, stop. Because you're not going to be happy for long. Like Christ, we must suffer in the body so not to be ruled by desire. Okay? We got to make sure that our focus is on it's on him even when it hurts. Now, I'll show you what this means. And we're going to close on this. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Now, what he means of suffered in the body? Because he was a man, he had desires. We don't like thinking that because we think he came down here as God. He had no feelings, emotions. He was able to do everything because he was God and all this stuff. No, no, no. He made it very clear. He took off all of his glory. He became us. That was necessary. He had to become us because we were part of the equation. For him to step in for us, he had to be us. That's why you just read where he says, by myself, I can do nothing. Jesus said that. Y'all remember that? Remember he says, but I'm in line with the Father. So he had desires, but he suffered in the body. What does that mean? So in other words, my desires are always going to be there. And we don't engage this or talk about this enough with Christians. We try to help them and their desires. Like you'll hear if somebody was on heroin And when they go to the hospitals, they give them methadone, right? Okay? So they're trying to still help their urge by giving something else to gratify their urge. And I get it in certain cases. Now, you'll have some that go, no, I want nothing. I don't know if you remember, Ray Charles went through that. Man, and you, it could kill you. It can actually kill you. But you had where some were like, nope, I'm just going to take whatever it takes. I need this out of my body. We're supposed to live in that way of, if I don't get it, then I don't. And I got to fully rely on you, Christ. Do y'all get this? Okay? So that's what it's saying. It's saying Christ went through a thing where he suffered because the body still craved. The body still wanted. And it was in a world that still tried to tempt him. So I have to have the same attitude. This is because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. After you say no to your body enough, your body goes, not going to listen to us. Do y'all get this? All right? It's the same as being on a diet. If somebody goes on a diet, your stomach is not going, oh, we're on a diet, so we'll hold off until we're done with this diet, and then we'll be hungry again. Does that work for anybody? Has that ever done? You know, I don't know whatever diet that is. Let me know. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I'm going to stay that way. But no, a real diet, you're still hungry, but because your purpose now became different, your stomach's growling, you think you're weak and all this stuff, but you're saying, nope, we're not eating until, we're not eating in this, right? And that's suffering in the body. Your body stops having a say, you're the one in control. And that's what God is saying. He's like, I empowered you now. Beat your body to make it your slave. Stop making your body tell you what to do. Your desires can't rule you. So when you suffered in the body, you're done with sin. You'll go out there and go, no, I shouldn't be doing this. It'll be as easy as that. Because your focus is always Christ. It says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires. And guess what word's not really in the translation? Evil. Yep, it should read, he does not live the rest of his life for human desires. Now remember, desires within themselves, not bad. But the problem is when I live for them, when they become the purpose. How a desire should work is, it's telling me what I would like to have. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm supposed to be spiritual. God, is it okay if I have that? Yes, you can. Now I'm going to enjoy it. But if God says, no, you can't, I go, nope. I want it, but we're not having it. See how that works? That's how it should have worked in the beginning. It should have worked. I want that fruit off the tree. God, can I have it? I told you no. Case closed. Goodbye, snake. Right? Should have been over with. But you kept talking. Kept going over it. He took and he ate. And we do the same thing. And we go, but I really wanted it, and now that I have it, I'm happy, and this and that, and God's just kind of, and that was the worst thing in human history that could ever happen, and it keeps happening over and over again. But if I suffer in the body, as a result, I do not live the rest of my life for earthly, live my life for evil human desire, but rather for the will of God. You'll wake up going, how can I serve God? We'll let that sink in. And God willing, we'll be able to finish this next week. Amen? All right. Let us stand. Glory, glory. Oh, sorry. Stop. Praise God for deacons, right? All right.